Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Welcome here this morning. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers in here. Yes. It's been a good Father's Day. I myself am a father. I have three kids, and they celebrated me more yesterday because Sunday mornings are a little bit crazy in our house, so I'm out pretty early. But it was nice. My kids, you know, they did their little drawings, and my oldest son, they put together this whole thing in their grade one class, and he's like, "Dad, you cannot pick me up from school on Friday. You just can't." And I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "It's secret. I can't." So I was like, "I wonder what it's for." So he made me something really nice. It's really great when your kids do, you know, something special like that. And they also actually bought me a Fitbit for Father's Day. And so there's no better way than saying, "Happy Father's Day, Dad. You need to lose some weight." So I got it. So, but no, it's really great. Actually, I used to have another one and it broke on me. I actually started wearing it because my son and I were training for a triathlon that we did in May. And it was really cool. It was quite the experience. I'd only done one before when I was 16, so that was a while ago. And so it's quite the experience when you do something like that, or you do like a marathon or any kind of a race where, you know, especially if the course is new to you and there's the intensity of people cheering and you're going, and especially for a triathlon, you need to make sure that you transition properly and you go the right way when you're going between each task. And it's quite the experience. We actually have some people in our community who have done marathons, and Ryan and Rebecca, who are on our team, they both did a half marathon this past spring, which is amazing. I can't even think of doing a quarter marathon. That tires me out. So I am very impressed by that. But it was a neat experience for us to do this triathlon and experience what it's like to have to make sure you're really focused, even though you're trying to just get to the finish line without dying and all that. And I love sports. I'm a big sports guy. I love watching the highlights at night. And some of my favorite parts about the highlights are like the bloopers and the crazy things that happen. And I think that's why I love sport, because it's so unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. And I just saw this blooper clip from a marathon that happened in China just this past March. And what happened was, it was coming right to the very end of the marathon. So they run like, 42 kilometers, which is wild. And these guys are still sprinting at the end of it. And there was two leaders and then another guy in third place behind. And these two leaders were sprinting side by side, trying to finish first, obviously. And the crazy thing about it was that this course had a 90-degree turn right at the very end of the track. And so it was about 200 meters to the finish after you take that 90-degree turn. And so they have the camera. The video is pretty funny. And these two runners are so engulfed in sprinting against each other that they fail to read the signs and follow the directions of the volunteers to take that last turn to the finish. And so you see these two guys sprint right past the turn, and they just disappear. And there's this like few seconds of nothing, and then you see the third place guy take the turn and go into first place. And it's amazing because he's just like, whoa, you know, like, and so he takes first place, and the other two guys actually crash into a fence. So they were so not paying attention, they hit a fence, got up, and then came back, and you could see them behind the third place guy, who is now in first, trying to catch up, but it was too late. There was only 200 meters left. So the guy in third won it and won the whole marathon. And it's really just a great picture of the importance of following those signs, following the guidance, and taking the right path. Because the two men who did not take the right path, what did it lead to them? Crashing into a fence and losing first place. And the guy who took the right path found victory. And so it was a pretty funny video to watch, and I love that part of sports and those things. So I just did the, you know, the classic pastor take an illustration and put into what we're gonna be talking about. So today's sermon is called Paths. We've been going through Psalm 23, and so we're gonna be talking about following the right path. And Luke and Ryan did a great job kind of introducing the very beginning of Psalm 23, and we're going to jump in the second half of verse 3. And so why don't you read along with me? He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we have the freedom and the opportunity to gather as your family, to come and be encouraged and to worship you and have your Holy Spirit speak to us, God. And so we just open up our hearts. We ask you to work and to minister to us, God. I pray that the message that you have will just come from you and meet us wherever each one of us are at this morning, God. And so we just give this to you this morning. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So this part of the scripture begins with David writing, he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Just as a shepherd leads his sheep, the Lord, our good shepherd, leads us on paths of righteousness. And these paths are right paths because they lead us to safety, to well-being, prosperity, fruitfulness, blessing, and life. These are paths that God has laid out for us because he loves us. He knows us best. And he has paths for us to follow because he knows those are going to be the best paths for us. Of course, it is important for us to remember that we all do have a choice which paths we are going to follow. We are not just some sheep blindingly leading or following a shepherd. God doesn't force us down a certain path. We have the choice. We get to choose whether we are going to follow his guidance or go our own way. And so the question that I have is, how do we follow the guidance of our good shepherd? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. I couldn't think of a better description of how the Word of God can guide us. It teaches us what is true. It corrects us and leads us in the right way. God has given us his Word as a guideline, almost as a map in a way, to follow the right paths. It's a book that has truth in it and gives us direction to do what he's called us to do. The problem is, though, and I am very guilty of this myself, don't get me wrong, is that I feel as if as Christians in our culture, in our day and age today, it is so hard for us to remember the importance and the power of the Word of God. We are busy people. We are constantly being pulled back and forth between family, friends, work, career, trying to get this done and be here and do that, be social. Not only that, is that we are constantly connected on technology. We have phones that we're always looking at, and there are so many things that are taking our time from us. And don't be wrong, those things are good. Family and friends are good, and we have technology that is great for us to live in a certain way. But we can fall into the trap of failing to remember the importance of having the Word of God in our everyday. The Word of God is powerful. It gives us guidance. It speaks truth to us. So as we face different situations, we know how to react. We know how to follow our shepherd down those right paths. I'm 32 years old, and so I am young enough that, you know, the internet was pretty much started coming around when I was a kid, and so it's been a pretty normal thing for me. A lot of the technology that we have are pretty normal. I know how to use it all. It kind of comes pretty easily to people my age or younger. But then there's another generation that my parents are in, and they did not necessarily grow up with this kind of technology. And it doesn't necessarily come very easy to them. And so if you're my age or around my age, you probably are familiar with the phone call from the parents going, how do I use this? What did I do? I had my phone on and I hit this button and that button and now it's black and screaming at me, right? And I constantly get those phone calls from my mom. My dad has actually gone the whole other way. He doesn't even know how to use a computer, so he just is like, I'm not even going to bother. It's too late now. But my mom is always going, how do I figure this out, this technology? And I hit the wrong button, or my computer is doing something. And whatever it may be, she calls me up and goes, what do? I need your help. And usually, I'll try to, you know, show some grace and maybe help her a little bit. But what ends up happening is I ask her one question. I go, Mom, what's the problem? And she says, this is what it is. I say, have you typed that into Google? And she goes, oh, I didn't think of that. And there's some kind of I don't know what it is between the generations, but my generation, it's automatic. Okay, I've got a problem, or I don't know how to fix this, or how do I do this? You Google it, and there's your answer. And for some reason, her reaction still isn't, I should Google it. Because usually when you type in that answer, there, you know, that question, there are the answers. There's probably a YouTube video made up with cool music in the background explaining every single step. And, you know, it's done. My mom doesn't even need to call me anymore, but she does. Because she loves me, but also because she doesn't think to Google it. And really, that's exactly what we need to do as Christians. You know, the Bible should be our Google. As we face different questions and as we try to decide what path to go down, or as we walk into difficult situations, or we're not sure how to treat someone, we need to go to the Word of God, because He has given us an incredible gift that has those answers in it. And it's so easy for us to try other things, to try to figure out these problems, to find these answers in other ways, what the world tells us to do, or just basically purely trying to do it under our own power and our own ability, when right there is this incredible book that has those answers, that has that guidance, that has life and truth and good things. And we need to go to that first. Psalm 1 is one of my favorite parts of the Bible, and it describes a person who delights in the word of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night. And the description of this person is this. It says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. What a great image of someone who loves the word of God and meditates on it day and night. The more we allow ourselves to absorb God's word, to be in it, to hear it, to read it, to be around it, it gets written on our hearts, and it affects how we live. It affects the choices we make and the decisions that we have to take toward whatever it is that we're facing. His word guides us. And as Christians, me also, I believe, we really need to get better at making the word of value and a priority for our time and our lives, and to meditate and be in the word, because it changes everything. We've also been given the Holy Spirit to give us guidance. In John 14, Jesus says this to his disciples, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. We have been given the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us that as we follow him, as we obey him and love him, his Holy Spirit comes into us. He is there with us. He is close to us, and he leads us into truth. He leads us down those right paths. All it takes is just finding some quiet space. Go into a room with no distractions around and just be quiet. Pray. Listen for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. As we pursue the Holy Spirit and we ask him to speak to us, as we listen for the voice of the Spirit, he gives us wisdom and discernment and direction. And not only that, the Holy Spirit brings transformation to our lives. This isn't just about making choices and about going, should I go this way or that way, or should I take this job or that job, whatever it may be. As we follow our good shepherd and he guides us down right paths, it also means a transformation of who we are. It means the Holy Spirit taking us from our old selves to our new selves and chipping away at our characters and who we are and creating someone that looks more like Jesus. We need to desire the guidance of the Holy Spirit purely so that we can be transformed into people who look more like Him. It comes down to our character, because when we make those choices, when we're dealing with people and we have to decide whether we forgive or we love or we show grace, it's going to come automatically because we're being transformed from the inside out. We've been given a great gift that is the Holy Spirit to do that work in our lives. And lastly, we've also been given godly people. We've been given community, the family of God. We're not meant to do this alone. That's not how God planned this to be. We are put in a family. We are all sons and daughters of God. And we have each other to help walk through the things that we face. God has given us people who love Him, who love His word, who are filled with His Spirit, and have experience following those right paths, who can come alongside us and support us and speak into our lives. We actually have this thing called the Mentoring Network here at our church, and Joanne's done an incredible job at setting it up. And it's for people who want to do exactly that, who want to pour into the lives of those who are trying to figure out how to find God's path and how to follow Him. And so if you're in that place and you need someone, someone godly who loves the Lord, who can help walk you through those things, we have that for you. And if you're on the other side too, if you want to do the same for someone else, we can help you do that. It's so important, and it's such a vital part of our community as Christians that we walk together and we help guide each other down those right paths that our Good Shepherd is leading us into. My favorite part about this first verse is that David says that our shepherd, our Good Shepherd, guides us down right paths. But not only that, that as we follow those paths, we glorify His name. We bring honor to His name. And I love this. I love this because following those right paths isn't just about us. It isn't just about us being changed and us making the right choices and finding life and finding good things down those paths. It's more than just about us. Following Jesus is more than about us. We live in a way and we are transformed into people that His name is honored. His name is glorified. Our world and the people around us, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, they're constantly facing the exact same choices that we're facing every day too, except that they're choosing to go other ways or they're trying to find their own path and they're finding themselves getting lost. And we have an opportunity to live in a way that they can watch the paths that we take and they can watch the people that we are and the choices we make and the way that we love and treat others around us. And they will see the difference. They will want to know, man, who is guiding that person? What is going on? I need to know more about that. As we follow those right paths, we have a chance to honor His name for those around us. As I said earlier, I'm a bit of a sports nut. I love team sports, especially. I played a lot of team sports growing up. I actually coached high school volleyball for a few years and have kind of been on the end of both things, and both a coach and a player. And one thing that I've really noticed, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like this is the trend, is that when you look at a team and you look at how they play and how they do things, you'll know who they are based on the way that their coach is and the person that their coach is and the character of their coach. And so if you have a coach who's like, hey, win at all costs, I don't care if you have to play dirty or, you know, that guy's got a bad right knee, take it out, you know, whatever it is. You know, if they're all about just making it about one player and who cares if you have to put down your teammates and yell at them, whatever it takes to win. If that's the kind of character you have as a coach, if you look at that team is going to play like that coach is coaching. But then if you have a team where you have a coach who is about playing fair and playing right, you have a coach who's about the team working together and everyone supporting each other and encouraging each other, about it being about teamwork, a coach that is going to coach in that way and encourage and love, and challenge, but not in a negative, demeaning way, you're going to see a team that plays together like that. It always happens that way. The way the coach is, the team will look that way. But what's even better is that the way that a team plays is actually going to represent its coach. You know, we give out awards to coaches for doing a great job. And it's because we watch their team and go, wow, look at that team. Look at the way they play together. Look at the success they're having. Look how much fun they're having. We need to honor that coach because of the great job they're doing. And that's exactly how it is. And when we live and we follow paths that God is leading us on, hopefully people will look at us and go, oh, I need to find out who they are serving. Who are they following? What is different about this person? What is different about this team? And it's not just us. It's us as a community. How are we represented in the community as a body, as a team? And we want people to look at us as Christians, as Living Waters Church, and go, oh, there's something different there. Much different than the other teams I see around. David moves on, and he says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Yes, as we walk down these right paths, we are going to find good things, and there'll be good results to the choices that we make. We find life, and we find fruit, and good things come out of these right paths that we follow. But there's no arguing that these paths are also going to take us into dark valleys. It's life. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that is going to have tough things. We are going to run into hard things. When my oldest son was about 3 or 4 years old, I'll never forget something that happened in our house. We were playing around, and probably I was chasing him or wrestling or whatever it may be, and he went to get away from me. And he turned really quickly to go out the door, but because he turned so fast, he misjudged the doorway and literally ran straight right into the side of the door. Head first, like totally just bit it. Like you could hear the sound of his head just knocking into the door frame, right? And so that he falls down and starts to cry, and I run over to him and try to comfort him. And he, you know, eventually kind of calms down enough that he can talk. And he looks up at me and he goes, Dad, why does God make hard things? Unfortunately, I laughed, and then it didn't help things. But it was really just a great moment of going, yes, you know, isn't that what we all ask when we go down these paths? Even though we are following the path that God has laid out for us and we are doing everything right, we cannot stop the fact that there are going to be times when we face hard things. And we ask that question, God, why? Why am I in this dark valley? We're in an imperfect, broken world with imperfect, broken people. There is hurt. There is sickness, fighting, sadness, loneliness, and death. We cannot avoid these things. But what's so great about that is that even when we walk through the darkest valley, we don't have to be afraid because he is close beside us. And I say this as someone who hasn't been in the darkest of valleys, but I know some of us are. This morning in the first service, I was up for prayer and a man came up to me who's a part of our community, and he shared with me that his prostate cancer, which he thought was gone, he just found out had come back. And it had come back with a vengeance. And it's spreading very rapidly, and it's very aggressive. And he came up to me for prayer, knowing that there's probably nothing he can do to stop it. Knowing that he is in a dark valley that he is not going to come out of. Coming for prayer. And yes, we have a God who can heal, who is powerful and can do a miracle, but that's not always the path that he takes us down. And it was amazing to pray for this man and to be able to pray the truth that we have in the word that we're talking about today, knowing that even in that darkness, even in the valley he is facing, that God is with him. And you can see a peace in him knowing that, yes, this is horrible, and yes, I've never faced anything like this, but I know that my God is with me. He is with us. He is close beside us. And we do not need to be afraid. Yes, I get that we have human feelings. When we face tough things, we're scared, we're hurt, we're sad, we're lonely. Those feelings are totally normal. So if those feelings are normal, why does David say that we don't have to be afraid? We don't have to be afraid because we need to find that peace in knowing and believing and trusting that God is with us. My two oldest boys, they share a room together and they have bunk beds. And every night we try to put them to bed and you try every trick you can to get them to fall asleep properly. And we have like those blinds that shut out the light, especially during the summer days. And you put music on, ambience, all of that. You try all the things as a parent. And either way, the room has to be dark because if it's not dark, they're not going to fall asleep. And so we say goodnight to them and we try to leave their room. And there's times when they call out and like, oh, I'm scared, it's dark in here. Or if they do fall asleep in the middle of the night, they run into your room, I'm scared, it's so dark. And so, you know, you comfort them. And the solution always is that me or my wife, we walk into their room and we sit down in the chair beside them and they fall asleep. And what's amazing is that there's nothing magical about me walking into a room and sitting down into a chair. I don't turn the light on. I don't do anything to get rid of this darkness that they are scared of. But what is it that changes it for them? What is it that takes that fear away? I'm in there with them. It's amazing the change that happens as soon as I walk into that room and sit down. Gone. They are not afraid. They fall asleep peacefully. And that's exactly what David is describing here. In the dark valleys, God is close beside us. He is with us. That doesn't mean that the darkness goes away. It means that he is with us. And we do not need to be afraid because we have a God, we have a shepherd who is close beside us and loves us and is going to comfort us and is going to protect us and is going to give us what we need to walk through that valley and to continue in that darkness. And then David finishes off by saying, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. And I love this because as we're in the dark valley, as we're walking through this and he's beside us, he has a staff and a rod to protect and to comfort us. We have a God who loves us so much that he's not going to leave us. We have a shepherd that is close beside us and wants to protect us. This isn't a God who's way up there and far off doing his own thing. It's a God that is in us and beside us. And he has a staff that in that time, the staff was seen as an instrument of support. He holds a staff to support us as we walk down these paths, as we walk through those dark valleys. And then he has a rod. And in that time, a rod was seen as an instrument of authority. And we need to think about that word, authority. Yes, we have a God who loves us and comforts us and is like a father to us, like what Fred mentioned earlier. But we also serve a God who's in authority. We serve a God who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He created this earth. He created all of this, and he is in control. We cannot forget the authority that our God holds, the authority that he has over our situations, the control that he has, and we just need to give that up. We need to rest in that fact and say, God, we know you are in control. We know you are so much bigger than our situations, and we're going to trust that you are going to take care of us and you are going to walk with us down these paths. The rod is also used for guiding, for rescuing. I love that, rescuing, for protecting, and for counting. He has a rod that he uses to count us. He knows everything. Every single one of us. He knows how many there are of us. He knows all the details, every fine detail of our situations, of our dark valleys, of the choices that we need to make, the things that are going on around us. He knows us. He is close by us. He is counting us, and he is not letting us out of his sight. We serve a God. We follow a good shepherd that will not leave us or forsake us. He is faithful and he never changes. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a faithful God. And he loves us so much that that just as the best shepherd does, he gave up his life for us. He laid down his life so that we could have life, so he could save us. Just as a shepherd would face a wolf to protect his sheep, our God gave his life up. Jesus gave his life up so that we could find life. There is no greater love than to give your life up for someone else. This is the kind of shepherd we are following. This is the kind of shepherd that is guiding us down right paths. How awesome is it that we get to follow a God who loves us that much? And so my encouragement to you today is to follow those right paths that he guides us down, to be in his word, to meditate on it, to know what he wants for us in our lives, to just soak it in so that it's on our hearts, so that no matter what choice we have to make, no matter what situation we're dealing with, right away we know we are going to deal with it in a way that God calls us to deal with it. Ask his Holy Spirit to fill you and empower you and to guide you and transform you. He has given us an incredible gift. It was Jesus' plan all along to give us his Spirit to be in us and with us. So no matter what we face, he will be there to walk alongside us and transform us into people that look just like him. And as we walk through our valleys, if you are here today and you are in a dark, dark valley, similar to our brother who is here with us today, this morning, I encourage you, do not forget that God is with you. And I'm not just saying this, it's the truth. And that's what we can hold on to because he loves us. He is close beside us. Let us live in a way and follow those paths and be transformed so that others want to follow the same shepherd that we have. Others who are lost and who are trying to find their own way in different situations and going to the world or other things to figure it out, let us live in a way that we can share about this incredible good shepherd that we have to follow. Let me just finish with the words of Jesus as he describes himself what this shepherd looks like. John 10 says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep." Jesus, we thank you so much for how much you love us. We thank you that we have such a good shepherd to follow who knows what is best for us. And even when we do walk through those dark valleys, you are with us and you will protect us and guide us and comfort us, that we do not need to be afraid. Lord, we thank you for your love, God. We pray that you will continue to remind us of who you are and that no matter what it is we are facing, you have a great plan, you have a path that is good, and you are with us as we walk down that path. Let us live in a way that your name is glorified. Give us opportunity every day to share who you are and to talk about this good shepherd we have guiding us to those who are lost and those who are trying to find their own way, so they can experience the same life that you have given to us. We thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. Have a great Sunday. Have a great Father's Day. And we'll be back here next week as John Imbo will continue our series in Psalm 23.